Hello and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports and business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the outdoor and sporting good industry. In cooperation with Outra, the ecosystem for the outdoor bike and sports industry, whose digital tools optimize the customer journey and increase the sales of brands and their retail partners. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts and enthusiasts. Really looking forward to my meeting today. It's the 3rd of May in 2024 with Tim Selby, Vice President and General Manager EMEA for Merrell, part of the Wolverine Group Worldwide. Hello, dear Tim.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I've been listening to a number of those over the years and, been very thought-provoking. So it's a privilege to have a chance to have a chat regarding the industry that I know we both love. So excited to be here.
Thank you for taking your time. And we both thank Dan for making this happen. Thank you, Dan. So the people we invite here in the podcast stand out because they have a special radiance for the industry. And they are either very innovative or different thinkers, particularly motivating and impressive by their view of things. And as we met in various business meetings and overlaps, I think I know some parts of what you do and where you are, but of course it would be wonderful if you have a short introduction for our listeners from a personal view, from your personal side. Could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, as you say, Tim Selby. I am a sports industry veteran. I've been in the kind of sports industry for many decades, probably 30 years or more, with the kind of companies such as High Tech, Adidas, Reebok, Rockport, and of course finally with Merrell. I live in the UK, but I have traveled extensively and spent a couple of years in Germany, 10-15 years ago. So I love the aspect of the multicultural, meeting lots of different people, and certainly when it comes to kind of work and passion, I love being in this industry because all my hobbies have always been linked to sport and to the outdoors. So for myself and my family, skiing, sailing, kite surfing, tennis, football, the list goes on. That's what we live for. And, we love what, the outside brings in terms of, our personal values and, how it makes us as people. So, I'm very lucky that, the passions, my hobbies are actually kind of linked to my everyday life and my work life. And I think, that's why, I get so excited every day going to work and, the opportunities that brings to, obviously build a business, but I think help and change people's lives for the better, which, there aren't many jobs that afford that opportunity.
And you want to share the age of your kids, which is always for those who care with kids and live with kids, something which shows where you are.
Yes. So I kind of left it a little bit late to have children. Maybe that was good, have a little bit more patience. So I have a 12-year-old daughter who's, been the apple of my eye and is now just starting to kind of turn towards those kind of teenage years. And, daddy's turning more embarrassing every day, so I have to behave myself. And then I have a 8-year-old son who is probably the opposite. If he should turn right, then left is definitely the direction he's going to go. So, he loves to get himself into trouble and to kind of push boundaries as much as possible. But he's definitely amazingly sporty, and I spend a lot of his time, as many parents know, stood on touchlines or driving them from here to there to make sure that they're kind of practicing or improving their sporting endeavors. So but it's great to spend those times and see them running around enjoying themselves. And part of that is that teamwork, that when they're playing their kind of their football or their rugby or their hockey or their, their team sports, that, how they bond and, enjoy that whole relationship with their other teammates. So it's a great experience.
Wonderful. Something we can count on for our energy management, correct?
Not really.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, children, as you know, you definitely need a lot of energy to keep up with them these days. Their expectations, I think, are pretty high in terms of everything they want to be involved in, which is, you know, which is great for the future.
So can you share some intro for the brand you're working with currently and your role and maybe something like a personal journey regarding your job?
Yeah, so kind of, you know, I've been with Merrell for, you know, the last kind of 13 years. Been on the kind of, you know, product and brand side for a lot of that. And then 3 years ago, just coming out of COVID, I got promoted up to the VP GM role. I think, you know, yeah. Merrell from a... has been definitely on a journey over the last 13 years. When I joined the brand, it was kind of really a kind of quite an old school lifestyle kind of brand, you know, built around kind of, you know, brown trainers. And then we looked to kind of rebase the business back into performance. And, you know, we really wanted to try and become one of those, you know, top of the hill kind of, you know, performance brands. And I think it took us, you know, kind of probably 3, 4, 5 years to realize that that wasn't really, you know, true to who we were. You know, we've always been that much more inclusive, everyday, you know, kind of brand. And we did a big study about kind of 3, 4 years ago, and then coming through the Circana data, we saw that actually what we needed to be was around the everyday. And I think once we had that epiphany, once we had that understanding, once we knew, you know, who our consumer was and what they stood for, then we've seen the brand go from strength to strength. And I think, you know, that is what has got me really excited. And, you know, that's probably, you know, what's brought me here to have our chat today is, you know, I think that understanding who your brand is, understanding who the opportunity, but then I think as an industry, you know, it from what the insights that we've seen, I think, you know, we need to kind of challenge ourselves and, you know, look at our viewpoint as an industry in terms of, you know, how we portray ourselves, you know, to the kind of to the wider consumer. So, yeah, it's been a great journey, and I think our success has been from our ability to adapt. You know, I kind of if any of my kind of team ever listen to this, they'll kind of raise their eyes and, you know, shake their head because it's, you know, one of my favorite stories. But, you know, when we used to kind of go out to, you know, kind of product launches, or if we moved into our showroom, kind of, you know, walked into our showroom 4 years ago, I always go, you know, it was basically 40 shades of brown. If you walked around the room, you know, if you could think of a name that described brown, you know, you could go otter and, you know, oak and, you know, it would be whatever you could. And then if we wanted to kind of get a little bit exotic or European, you know, we'd bring in a cappuccino or an espresso, you know, to kind of, you know, that was us pushing boundaries. And I think, you know, that was it. The sea of the slightly different colored walls of these brown shoes. And I, you know, when I look at that back now, you know, those shoes were developed for one sole purpose, and that was for walking on the mountains. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, when I look back at that now, that was very restrictive in its view. Yes, they were amazing for that purpose they were intended, but then that kind of limited it in terms of, you know, how do we make that open to a wider and make it more accessible to a greater market? And then as you start to extrapolate that out from a brand and then from a market and then from a consumer perspective, I think, you know, that's a very interesting thought and, you know, something that we need to look at as both, you know, as for us as a brand, but I think maybe us as an industry.
As an industry, yeah, definitely. Before we go deeper into that one, can you share, as this is a sports and business podcast, some facts and figures on Merrell and maybe also on Wolverine? So just for the picture, for those who may not, maybe there are some which do not know Merrell, I don't know, but maybe there are. So some baseline information, is that possible? Like employees, should it?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Wolverine is an American, you know, conglomerate made up of, you know, a number of different brands. So, you know, probably the most famous being, you know, Cat Footwear, you know, Saucony running shoes, you know, Sweaty Betty, the kind of the big women's lifestyle brand in the UK. So, you know, we're made up of, you know, different groups, of which kind of Merrell is the biggest brand, you know, within the portfolio. It is probably the kind of largest outdoor footwear brand in the world. So, you know, the US is our biggest market, followed by EMEA. You know, it's mainly built kind of, you know, 95% around, you know, around footwear. Yeah, and it's built, you know, we're built around performance and lifestyle pieces. In terms of the EMEA, which I, you know, look after, you know, we're made up of subsidiaries and distributors. But, you know, we had both sides of our business, Western Europe tending to be the kind of more owned. And really, over the last, you know, since 2019, you know, we've had, you know, double digit, you know, CAGR growth over that time. So, you know, as I spoke to, I think earlier, you know, in our conversation, you know, once we defined, you know, who we wanted to be and have become much more laser focused on our place, we've really kind of found our place in our niche in the market. And, you know, we have grown, you know, very well over the seasons. We're probably, you know, through the Circana data, you know, we're in a very tight battle with, you know, Salomon for the number one spot in France. You know, there isn't the same data in the UK, but I would say that, you know, we're probably number one, number two in the UK as well, a solid number two in Spain. And, you know, we've got strong growth in Germany and Italy. And then, yeah, definitely a top three brand in the Nordics. But, you know, we've built that through, you know, strong growth, you know, in the markets. And then, yeah, when I look at it at a category level, you know, our heartland is, you know, what they, I think they categorize it as outdoor multifunction. You know, it's a, again, you know, we are, it's a battle between ourselves and, you know, Salomon, you know, at the top of that cart. And then we just actually rebased ourselves into kind of trail running. So we're kind of moving from being that kind of traditional hype brand into, you know, some of these more athletic parts of the market. And we're probably, you know, I think we're the third or fastest growing, you know, kind of trail running brand. Was it fourth fastest growing trail running brand, you know, in Europe, you know, within the Circana data. So we're really kind of seeing that we're, you know, we're driving, you know, strong growth. And yeah, I think that's come from, you know, we've got great product. I think our marketing is, you know, then we'll, you know, we'll talk to that, you know, kind of in terms of our point of view. And then I think it's, you know, the way we, you know, build that business, you know, the great, strong strategic partnerships that we've got with our retailers that, you know, making sure that, you know, hopefully we're, you know, we're easy to work with. Hopefully, you know, we're having those conversations about how we both, you know, we both win in the marketplace, you know, listening to them and, you know, striving to, you know, to kind of, yes, deliver brand and product, but deliver, you know, kind of business solutions that, you know, kind of that help our business. And I think it's those three tenants that have allowed us to be successful over the last kind of, you know, 4 to 5 years.
And before we come to the brand values and your thoughts on outdoor as an industry, is it appropriate to ask for, like, is that unsold pairs, or how do you compare yourself to, for example, when you say Salomon, et cetera, is that something which you present if you do a pitch presentation on your company, or is that something which is not appropriate to ask?
That's unsold pairs. So that's through the, you know, the MPD, you know, which is now Circana, you know, that's through that data. So that, you know, that is, you know, that is, you know, independent, you know, research that, you know, that we get on a monthly, quarterly, yearly basis. Because I think, you know, the selling is, you know, selling, you know, everybody can sell in, you know, I think you can sell in, offer everybody a 50% discount and, you know, that, it's not the easy bit, but I mean, the most critical bit is sell out. And therefore, you know, you know, it's that's the crucial bit. Are we selling out? Are we resonating with the consumer? Are we driving a successful business for us and our retail partners? So, you know, that's the proper measure. And, you know, that's what we look at is the Circana data. You know, in terms of where we sit in terms of market share. And yeah, I think they cover now something like 70% of the outdoor market through sporting goods, outdoor specialties.
Okay. Thank you. So always interested in figures and facts and so on. So whatever you can share. But coming back to the 50 Shades of Brown, and when we had our short prep call, you said it is about the influence of your work and the insights you can share, because if the question is, what's the big thing right now? What are you working on? What is interesting for all of us listening to somebody like you? What makes you tick? What's happening, etc.? Is that the concrete measures you are doing is opening up the outdoors. And can you share what's in your head around that one, on 50 Shades of Brown and also on connectivity? And you called it integrity and diversity. So let's open your mind, please, and tell us what's in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we did a big kind of global kind of, you know, hike study about, you know, kind of 3-4 years ago. And I think, you know, one of the biggest kind of insights was how consumers actually interact with the outdoors. You know, I think we have a perception that people kind of, you know, go out for those, you know, those long full day hikes, or they're going off for kind of big trips, or, you know, those kind of great big kind of epic adventures. And, you know, yes, there is a certain percentage of consumers that do that, but actually, kind of think it's just over 80% of consumers are actually participating in the outdoors for half a day or less. And therefore, you know, we're as an industry, we're creating these, you know, amazing products, but actually the design for kind of multi-day or top of mountains, whatever. But actually the vast majority of consumers want to do something that is half a day or less. And what they also, you know, we found was they don't really be defined by one category. They want to be able to do multiple different things when they're in the out the doors. They don't see themselves as a hiker or a biker or a walker. They just see themselves as an outside or an outdoor enthusiast. And therefore, you know, I think the big piece that we've seen is, you know, how do we connect with that consumer that maybe doesn't want, you know, to buy 30 or 40 different things for each of those different, you know, those different subsets, you know, that we've done. And I think that's where it comes back to that piece that, you know, you were talking about with the 40 shades of brown. You know, that shoe you're only going to wear for that time when you're on the mountain. You know, how do you take that and turn that into an everyday opportunity? And it's not that we do a terrible job. You think about, you know, insulated jackets. You know, the outdoor industry have done a great job that insulated jackets are now part of, you know, everyday people's everyday life. You know, in the winter, you throw on your insulated jacket and you wear that on the way to work, or you wear that out. You know, that is very much a mainstream part of culture. And I think, you know, kind of backpacks are probably another one that, you know, are probably, it's not just worn for the mountains. A lot of those are kind of, you know, worn for everyday life. And yeah, flasks, you know, Yeti and, you know, Stanley and some of these other ones, again, have made a good move into mainstream culture. I think, you know, probably, you know, us as the kind of the, you know, on the footwear side of the industry, I think, you know, we're the ones who probably, you know, we haven't done a good enough job in terms of how do we make ourselves more relevant for the, you know, for that consumer that just wants to go outside. And it probably isn't maybe even outdoors. It's, you know, we need to kind of think about it just being a more general bit of that outside culture. And that for me, you know, is that big unlock. And then, you know, if we can encourage those and motivate those people, then, you know, all the other stuff that's come post COVID in terms of, you know, the big wellness trends and, you know, health trends and everything that come, you know, come on the back of getting people just to go outside, probably not even to, you know, go outdoors and go on those kind of those bigger walks. It's a definition question, because I think, you know, we should probably ask it a bit of research. If we say outdoor, what would you associate with the words outdoor? Whereas you said the words outside, you know, what would be your connotations and your words? And, you know, I think they would be, you know, kind of vastly different. And then when you say walk, hike, or trail run, then I think, you know, then, you know, it gets narrower and narrower and narrower in terms of kind of consumers' perceptions and thoughts. And,
you know, and it's, and you know what, I just some thought in between, because when we were thinking and setting up the show, it was outdoor. By that time, Outdoor by ISPO, which was my previous job, we always had the conversation on which is the definition of outdoor and what belongs to it. And you have different countries where the definition is completely different, because if you see Scandinavia with all the hiking events, etc., and this is what you maybe, if it comes to concrete measures, how to mirror what's happening right now, then it's exactly, yeah, why should we exclude anything?
Yes, yeah, yes,
yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And as you were saying, it's getting more narrow and narrow for those who are athletes and experts and hiking up, like, which is more than alpinism than hiking. But in between that, just move, let's go.
Yeah. I think, I mean, there's definitely a place for kind of, you know, that kind of alpinism, and, you know, because that's where you drive innovation and all the kind of, you know, the benefits that, you know, that we see. And, you know, and then, you know, from that piece, you then take that down, you know, to the everyday. And I think, you know, we did, you know, when we did that research study, you know, it was kind of, I think we saw that, what was it, sickness, no, 40% of consumers had never dreamed of buying a pair of, you know, of walking shoes when they go into the outdoors. You know, so even when they were going to go into the, you know, more into the outdoors, 40% of them would not dream of, even think about, you know, buying or purchasing a pair of outdoor shoes. you know, and that was born of that perception that, you know, when we kind of did a little bit of a deep, you know, their perception of what outdoor was, that, you know, no, no, I don't want, you know, their big, heavy, you know, brown boots, you know, that's not me. I'm into my, you know, my sneakers. I want comfort, you know, I want great color. You know, and therefore, you know, through that kind of, you know, that perception, you know, we'd created a barrier that, you know, the outdoors is not for me because, you know, this is what it looks like. And, you know, and then I think on the other side of that is, you know, sometimes, and I think, you know, we're better than we have been is, I think, yeah, we get very focused on our product is overcoming the challenges and the barriers to the outdoors. So sometimes it's all about people hunkered down and it's protecting you from the elements and all of this thing. And I think that sometimes, you know, well, the outdoors is this scary place where, you know, rather than actually, for the, you know, yes, you need to be mindful. You know, yes, we need to educate people that, you know, you need to take, you know, you need to make sure you've got the right equipment and think about weather, et cetera, before you go into the outdoors. But it's, you know, the vast majority of the time, it's a place of, you know, fun and joy and, you know, awe and inspiration, you know, et cetera. You know, and I think, you know, we got to be careful that this scary top of mountain thing doesn't just stop people from, you know, going into their local woods and, you know, and having a great time, disconnecting from the phone, disconnecting from their stressful lives, disconnecting from the computer, you know, and it literally takes you 5 minutes to go and find that from your front door.
It's always the question if it comes to like super expertise and high level grade between A and Z or black and white or however you want to call it. But in the between, there is always the,
yes,
the mass majority, as you were saying, which needs to be inspired and be brave or trained or inspired is the right word, I guess. There is, if it comes to like, what's the concrete thing what you could share with our audience? So again, as a reminder, our audience is hopefully a B2B listenership, which we call our community. And this could be, of course, all the C-levels and everybody, but also those who love to work in the industry or which work in other industries and can be inspired from what we do because we love outdoors and this is our passion and that's why we work what we work. Is there anything concrete you can share from what were the measures and what do you think is right now appropriate and what are the next steps? And this is not the, like the business cases which happened with Corona, full stocks, etc. That would be another question, but this would be like sales and business driven. Right now it's more the inspirational brand perspective. What can you share? And it could also, of course, be the events you are offering, etc. So please be inspirational for us.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing from, is to, you know, how do we as an industry and, you know, how do we as a brand create and tools that enable and help people get into the outdoors? And I think, you know, we've launched a couple of initiatives over the last, you know, few years, you know, built around these insights. So the Merrill and Hike Club, which is around, you know, helping and empowering women to get into the outdoors. And then the Merrill Fund, which is, you know, helping less advantaged parts of society get into the outdoors as well. And I think, you know, us as an industry, you know, we can do more in those routes in terms of, you know, how do we, you know, to help and inspire those parts of the community to get there. Yeah. When I look at something like, you know, the, you know, the kind of the Hike Club, you know, when we did our initial, you know, when we did our initial research, you know, we went and talked to a lot of consumers and, you know, some of the ones that, you know, some of the kind of comments that we had played back to them kind of were kind of very insightful and almost kind of, you know, quite damning in terms of, you know, in terms of, you know, we were thinking about, you know, how we're portrayed, you know, kind of, I've got a couple of quotes, you know, so as a plus size black woman, I never see anyone that looks like me doing it. So it puts me off. If I saw more, you know, a few more people like me, then maybe I'd feel more welcome in this space. You know, and she was a model and creative, and yeah, you know, so she didn't feel that, you know, that she would, you know, that she was welcome. And then, you know, this lady was a doctor, so, you know, a highly intelligent lady, and she said, you know, there's just too much information out there. I feel like I have a choice paralysis. You know, there's nothing there that's curated for women. You know, I don't know where to start. There's so many names, you know, kind of technologies, anachronisms. You know, it's a complete confusion, you know. So, you know, these are kind of from women, you know, these kind of barriers that, you know, we get so into this kind of tech and we get so into this environment that, you know, I think, you know, we understand it because we play in this industry, but I think when people come on our website or go in our stores, I think for a lot of people, they find it daunting, you know. And then there was another one who was a, you know, she was a mountaineer, and she says, yeah, I have lots of platforms to go on, but I must admit that for anybody who's just starting out, and, you know, and I talk to my female friends, you know, there's no kind of community for them. And I think, you know, this is this piece. I think we've, as an industry, we've got into that, talking to that 10 to 20% that we know, and, you know, who kind of feel that same passion for us. But I think we've forgotten that other 80%, and how we can inspire them to kind of, you know, become outdoor advocates, and to and have all the benefits and joy that, you know, we have from, you know, spending the time outside that we do. And yeah, and I think that's where, you know, that's where the kind of opportunity is, I think, from a kind of industry philosophy point of view, but I think also from a commercial, you know, opportunity. You know, you and I spoke a second ago with regards to, you know, insulated jackets that have made that piece into brand, you know, into mainstream. How do we get outdoor footwear, you know, to go mainstream? Running's made it there, basketball's made it there, you know, tennis in a certain respect has made it there as a, you know, opportunity. How do we make it that when, you know, when consumers want to buy, you know, a new pair of, you know, product, that actually, when you think about it, outdoor footwear should be one of their, you know, one of their first choices. We make an amazing product. It is usually designed with super performance. You know, it's designed to perform the second you walk outside that door. The fit's great. The comfort's great. I think, you know, the one area that we've, you know, we've struggled for a number of years in terms of that style. And I think, you know, the big piece now is style should almost be, you know, the number one. And then the performance bit, you know, comes after that. Would you wear that with a pair of jeans? You know, and then, you know, if that's a tick, then, you know, then that wins. And, you know, because then, you know, if you're going to wear it with pants, then you're going to be happy to wear it on the mountain. And actually, I've got a, you know, kind of another kind of, you know, funny story that, you know, we've just launched our new Moab Speed 2. And within the women's collection, we've got a bright pink mid boot. And our finance director kind of went up into the Peak District with a pair of those on, you know. And she said she made more friends on that, you know, on that trip that she's ever made before, because, you know, all these people kind of saying, oh my golly, you're brave wearing a pair of bright pink boots up into the mat, you know, oh yeah, kind of, what are you doing? I mean, this is, you know, this is not the kind of, you know, and she had all these people stop and comment on, you know, that she was wearing bright pink boots to go walking, you know, in the muddy Peak District. But, you know, it was great that, you know, this product was kind of, you know, breaking those boundaries and those barriers and getting, you know, kind of some people to kind of feel almost uncomfortable that, you know, surely it should be brown and leather, not, you know, something that's kind of print, you know, print lightweight and, you know, kind of almost more, you know, kind of built for with a pair of jeans than, you know, kind of built for the, you know, kind of with the outdoors in mind. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, our values are, you know, how do we get, you know, make the outdoors for everybody? I think, you know, for us, that is our, you know, that is our number one value within Merrell, that we should invite everybody into those, and we should, you know, lower those barriers to make that happen. And, you know, through, you know, through that, that, you know, the Merrell Hike Club is, you know, has been, you know, one of our key kind of, you know, we see as one of our key vehicles. We did over 50 events across, you know, Europe last year, where we have kind of what we call our trailblazers, who kind of go out and create communities within their area that invite women and help women kind of get out onto hikes and, you know, and give advice and, you know, and help and, you know, and yeah, allow these women to kind of, you know, break down those barriers. And then we kind of create, you know, create Facebook communities, you know, within that where they, you know, they share ideas, you know, share thoughts, you know, get together, you know, kind of go out on, you know, more frequently than, you know, around those ones. And you know, it's been hard work to kind of start to build that community, but actually in the last 12 months, you know, we've really started to see that, you know, I think we've got to a critical mass and we're starting to see the numbers and the participation and everything starting to grow. And, you know, it's really exciting. And, you know, this is going to, you know, this is going to be a big focus for us going into, you know, kind of 25, 26, 27. We want to build these communities where we're empowering, encouraging, celebrating people, you know, get into the outdoors. You know, and we see, you know, how do we then build that into other communities and other parts of, you know, other parts of the industry?
Yeah, it all comes down to exactly what you're saying, sharing concrete measures and influencing. Is there anything you want to share in terms of, because you were saying this is like the style and the performance, is there anything you want to add in terms of sustainability for what makes outdoor different than other bits and pieces in the industry?
I think it is. I think so, yeah, sustainability, you know, I mean, I think that is important. You know, we need to make sure that the outdoors is there for, you know, for our future directions. But I think, you know, I think sustainability and inclusivity are two, you know, kind of slightly, you know, different things. And I think, you know, everybody within the, you know, the industry, you know, has a, you know, an obligation to do their best to, you know, to, you know, to kind of, you know, to build for a better future. Merrill is never going to be a Patagonia. I mean, you know, that is, you know, that is not, you know, that is not what we, you know, what we feel that is our, you know, expertise and, you know, what we're going to stand for, of course, you know. But I think for us, you know, where we see the opportunity is on that kind of diversity and inclusivity, you know, of side of the, of the industry. And, you know, how, when you look at obesity rates, you know, becoming some of the highest, you know, they've ever been and growing, you know, when you see that mental health is on the increase. And again, all the research shows that getting outside, being in the outdoors, taking time to disconnect has such a positive impact on society. You know, then how does, you know, us, how do we as an industry, as we've spoken about, you know, allow that to be, you know, more accessible to people, then, you know, then that's, you know, that's, then that's a big chance to impact and have a positive impact on society for the, you know, for the future. We need to encourage and empower and, you know, and join. And I think how we talk to that younger consumer, you know, I think needs to, you know, we need to adapt and think about that, you know, they want it for less than half a day. They want something that's versatile. Style is important, you know. They want to do it with friends, you know, they want to disconnect. You know, I think all those ones, you know, rather than maybe, you know, it's just about, as we've spoken about, that 1 week a year or a couple of days when you get up to the Alps or you get to the Pyrenees or you get to the Lake District. Yes, that has that place, that inspires people, you know, but I think it's got to be a wider conversation that, you know, it's the outside rather than just about the outdoors. Mm. And I think, you know, walk rather than, you know, get on the bus. You know, and, you know, that walk, you know, that's an urban trail, isn't it? It's not, you know, so, you know, is that part of, you know, even part of our communication going forward, that it's not even just about, you know, that, you know, that time in the woods, it's, you know, it's whatever that trail could be. And if you're walking somewhere, then you should be considering, you know, outdoor footwear, because that's going to give you the best experience. You know, you should be considering outdoor gear, because that gives you the best experience. And I think, you know, that is where we can be an enabler in terms of, you know, yeah, the kind of the change that's come, that, you know, post COVID, it's, you know, that stress, and as we spoke, you know, that obesity, you know, is on the increase. And I think us as an industry can be, you know, can be a game changer within that, because sometimes run and some of these other ones, they're even more challenging to a consumer. You know, the barriers to entry for our industry are actually very low. And I think, you know, as we've been speaking about, I think some of the barriers we've created, rather than actually, you probably just need a good pair of shoes and a waterproof jacket. And if you're going to go for half a day or less, that's, you know, that's as much as you need. So just how do we encourage and welcome people? And then when they've had a good experience, you probably just then we encourage them to kind of, you know, maybe get more involved and get more adventurous and, you know, try different things. But we're giving them the information. We've got the communities there that they can join, you know, to allow that to happen. And, you know, if we do that, then, you know, suddenly we've got a, you know, a bigger pot of people that we're inspiring and, you know, and that we can sell to. And I think then it's, you know, how do we do as an industry? But, you know, I've been in a few meetings with some of our, you know, key accounts recently, and I think there's, you know, there's definitely a tie-in between brands and retail, and, you know, they've got locations in places. How do we partner with them, you know, to kind of, they're looking at how can they be more than the place that just sells product. Yeah, so other brands, and to, you know, and then to retail partners, you know, that have, you know, do they come community hubs, etc. So yeah, I think it's a big opportunity
for them. And we in Munich here, we have so much going on, unbelievable. So many like small communities always trying to share and combining. So as we spoke about, is there anything you want to share? How is it on right now managing Merrell in the times we have right now? This is, as it is a business podcast, we need to have a short view on the market and on the challenges. And what do you do to surf it somehow?
Yeah. I mean, it's been an amazing few years, hasn't it? You kind of, we've always gone, well, 2023 is going to be the year where, you know, everything is going to kind of get back to normal. And then it's almost, well, 2024 is going to be, you know, the year that's going to get back to normal. And then, you know, fingers crossed, you know, we keep thinking about 2025 is going to be the year. But yes, you know, it's been, it has been, you know, very challenging over, you know, the, over the last few years, you know, from too much stock to too little stock to, trying to get, just fine stock, you know, with the, for the factory delays and, you know, and then remote working, you know, to now people coming back into the office, you know, managing that transition back. So I think when I look at it, you know, that resilience, that openness to change, that the openness to, you know, question everything, you know, that you do, I think, you know, that has been, you know, some of the most, you know, important things that you do. But on the other side, I think something that stood us well and, you know, stood us has been that we've understood what we wanted to stand for. We've understood where we want to go as a business. And in terms of, you know, 2025 going onwards, for me, the big opportunity is, you know, as we've spoken for much of this, you know, for much of this podcast is, you know, how do we widen that opportunity? How do we, you know, evolve that? And from all the data we're seeing, you know, we believe that is the big opportunity for us, our retailers, for the, you know, for the industry. You know, it is making, you know, product that is, you know, kind of more versatile, better start, you know, for the future. And that, and that's, you know, that's the, you know, that's the, you know, the big unlock. And I think, you know, there are a number of brands, you know, who are doing it well. And I think, you know, how do we then build that more into an industry approach? And yeah, and I think the community piece, like you're saying, in Munich, there are lots of little communities. You know, how do we build on that and grow that? But yeah, Munich is a very outdoor industry. Outdoor city.
Outdoor city.
You know, how do we take some of that philosophy and you take it into other cities and other towns and other places? You know, across the globe and, you know, across Europe. So I'm actually very excited. I think, you know. You know, it's
good times ahead.
It is actually a pivotal time for the industry. You know, I think there are good times ahead, and I think, you know, it is coming. You know, outdoor is becoming more accessible, and I think, you know, we are changing, you know, how we, you know, approach consumers and the market, and, you know, through trail running, which, you know, we actually make it very narrow, but actually the product that we're developing, you know, across the industry, we're bringing some great product, great designs, you know, and, you know, consumers are having an amazing experience with it. So yeah, I see good times ahead. Yeah, I think, you know, our industry is in good health, and yeah, I believe.
You think our industry is in good health?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough, but I, you know, it's not that we're not that the outdoor doesn't resonate with the consumers that out, you know, that the benefits of getting outside, you know, where I think a lot of people now want to kind of, you know, disconnect, want to get away from their stressful lives, understand that actually spending out times and, you know, that joy and that happiness that can bring. Well, you know, that's down to all of us to make sure that we help facilitate that. And if we help facilitate that, then I only can see, you know, growth for our industry. Of course, you know, mortgage rates and interest rates and, you know, all those, you know, consumer demand being slightly down, you know, makes it tough for us in the short term. And we need to kind of, you know, manage and work closely together to make that happening. But I do believe for the future, you know, ultimately, you know, as an industry, you know, we are ripe to kind of, you know, for the trends that are, you know, that are, you know, coming through. You know, we get the WGSN trends and, you know, around, you know, outdoors, people wanting to travel, you know, wanting to disconnect, wanting to get away, wanting to have, you know, time to reconnect with themselves. This all plays back to our industry. You know, we are very, you know, relevant. It's just making sure that, as we've spoken about, our tone of voice and how we communicate that, you know, fits with what those, you know, consumer trends and consumer insights and needs are for the future.
So this is why we are there for, to share as much information as possible. And if you agree, and we are already at the end of our session, because we always try to be like focused for everybody in between listening to us. I would go to some questions which are always at the end of our podcast and are very spontaneous, all under the theme, how could this happen to me? So this could be interpreted very like positive or challenging or funny or whatever you would like to share. And if you are ready, I would go into this one. Is that okay?
Yes. Yep.
You
yes.
Are?
Yep. So I was kind of thinking about this one, and I think actually my funny one was And it actually stood me in good stead over the years was when I first started for Adidas. Mm-hmm. So I just joined Adidas UK, and I was head of retail marketing for Adidas. And we went into one of our big retailers, and I was in with a very experienced key account manager. We went in there to kind of discuss the future launch, and we went in and the meeting was going amazingly well, and then the buyer said, "I want this product," and I'm sorry, you can't have that product. That's not for the level of distribution that you serve. And I'm an important player. I want this product. Well, no, I'm sorry. We're very clear. Well, in that case, you can get out. And literally, we got thrown out of the building. I think this was my third day in the business. And I was like, oh my golly, I've been third day and I've just been thrown out of an important meeting. And I'm sitting there kind of sweating. And I look across at my key account manager and he's laughing. And I'm thinking, well, what are you laughing about? We've just been thrown out of an important account. He said, this is the best news. He said, the fact that he's thrown us out means we're important to his business and the product's selling well and he'll calm down and it'll all be good and we'll move forward. And my lesson learned there was actually sometimes to say no is good and to have a clear vision of what you want to do and what you want your brand to, and of course, there needs to be flexibility, okay. but actually, to have this piece was, and of course, it all turned out fine, but it was I think sometimes, we feel that if we don't say yes, then, things aren't, going to work out. And actually saying mm-hmm. no, standing to your values, may be hard in that short-term moment, but mm-hmm. actually for the long-term can be beneficial. But that was an interesting moment 3 days into a brand new job.
And this resonates maybe. So for the questions, I would not comment anything. I will just leave it standing because it's like 7 to 8 questions in a row, but I fully resonate. So it could also be already the answer maybe to the next question, which is your biggest surprise.
Do you know what? I think my biggest surprise is if you empower people and if you employ good people and empower them, what an amazing, job and life that you can have. That, again, that was my biggest unlock. I think, where was I working at the time? I think it was at Rockport. And, I thought the way to do everything was, me to do it. And my boss sat down to me and said, no, empower your team, get them to do it. And ever since then, I've never looked back. If you have a great team and you empower them, then, you will succeed at work.
Your contribution to make the world a little better.
I think my contribution to making the world a little better is as we're speaking about today. I think we are advocates to making people inclusive in the outdoors, and we want to get more and more involved into that space. And a big push from our side is to get myself and the team more involved in those events and to actually find time within our busy schedules to allow people to actually go out and have greater time, kind of doing some of the values that we say. So that's a big focus for us culturally over the next, now, but going forward is, how do we culturally change to, become kind of closer to our values in terms of how we treat our employees. So there's a big piece that we're looking at in terms of that is, really driving that culture through. And I think if we can do that, then, that makes a big difference to people's lives as well.
Okay. And is there a recommendation or a source which you rely on, like a book or a film or a podcast or?
Not really. No, I've never been a great one about kind of reading kind of business books. I'm much kind of on those kind of personal connections. I've been lucky through my career that I think I've had 3 or 4 really strong mentors that have given me great advice and guidance, through my time in my career. And I think having that person or that sounding board that I've been able to kind of go back and have those trusted conversation with, I think, that has been the big game changer for me is that, I've had very smart people, in above me and or in other, in parts of those, in the organizations, that I've been, I've built relationships with them, given access to who've helped steer me and guide me in terms of making some good choices and decisions through my career.
If there is a way how people can get in touch with you, if you'd like to share that.
I'm very open. So, if people want to kind of contact me on my work email address, then no problem. So, tim.selby@www.inc.com. So, happy to kind of reach out and discuss the future of this amazing industry. And I'm sure we'll bump into each other at ISPO and the EOG summits and all the other great conferences and events that we do as an industry. So it's hopefully a start of a journey where get a chance to talk to people around the opportunities we face.
And adding from my side, because I love platforms and I love cooperation, which we all need to support and make sure that it stays relevant. So thank you for your time, Tim. It was a pleasure.
Hey, to jump off with a personal message. Do you like my podcast or not? Then help me get better or stay good, preferably via LinkedIn. And please spread the word, share it, and make our content even more relevant. Thank you very much, and see you next time.